Galatians chapter 4, I want to continue on with our study in this chapter, and I want to go down to verse number 6. We left off in verse number 5 this morning. Let's look, see what verse number 6 says, and we're talking about what Paul is trying to clarify to these Christians, new Christians in Galatia, that are being led back into Judaism, back under the bondage of law by false teachers, by teachers that are saying you're saved by Christ, but then it's the law. You have to add the law back. There's yes, there's salvation's in Christ, but then you add this. And so and Paul was showing them, listen, that is not the gospel. That's not true. And when you put yourself back under the bondage of the law, you are putting yourself back as a child, back as a servant under the law, rather than as a son of God, an heir, a joint heir with Christ. Well, look at verse number 6. The Bible says this, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. That is, that the Holy Spirit of God has been placed inside of every believer. And Paul is saying, listen, because you have been made sons of God, you're no longer children. You are adopted as sons of God. You are adult children that have the inheritance. The full inheritance of all that God has is for you. And one of the things that God has for you is His Holy Spirit that He has placed inside of your heart. And that Holy Spirit enables you to cry out to God the Father and say, Abba, Father, which is really the word or the endearing term of Papa, like a child would say Daddy, or some children call their grandparents Papa or their dad Papa. And so what he is saying is, because you are truly sons of God, you have inherited the Holy Spirit of God, and He is dwelling inside of you, and therefore you can call out to God, and you can call Him Father, you can call Him Daddy, you can call Him Papa. You have a close, intimate relationship with God the Father. Now it goes on in verse number 7, and it says, therefore, because of these things that we've read and talked about this morning in verse number 6, he says, therefore, you are no longer a slave. You're no longer a servant, but a son. Remember, that was the difference for them. A servant would have been someone who was under the guardianship of the law. They had a tutor. They had somebody that would take care of them, that would watch out for them. Parents would hire nannies or somebody like that. They would call them a servant, and they would oversee their children. They would make sure their children were at school when they were supposed to be there. They would make sure their children did their homework. They would make sure their children were safe, that they were fed, that they were taken care of. And so that's what a tutor did. That's what a guardian did. That's what a nanny does. And so he was saying the law was like a nanny. The law was like a guardian. It was protecting you and leading you and bringing you and getting you to the place where you needed to be. Now he says, when you were under the law, you were a servant, you were a slave, you were not a son, you were not a free, born a son. He says you were a slave, but he says now you are a son. You have been adopted into His family. You are adopted. You are recognized as a grown adult son who has every right to all of the inheritance of all of the wealth of God. All of the things that God has are now yours. You can enjoy those things. And so he says, you're no longer a slave, but a son. Think about this. If you could picture or imagine someone who is an owner of a large company and so forth, and maybe their son works for them within that company, and there is that difference there, that he is a servant, he is a worker, he is an employee, but he's also a son. He is the son of the owner, and he one day he will have all of the pleasures, all of the inheritance, all of the wealth, all that is due him, all that belongs to his father will belong to him. Paul is saying all that belongs to the Father belongs to you and I as Christians, as believers. We have been adopted, we've been regenerated, and now are adopted as adult children, and we have that inheritance. And now he says, and if a son, then an heir of God through what? Through what we've done? Through our good works? Through keeping the law? No, he says we're heirs of God through what? Christ. Through Jesus. Through Christ and Christ alone. It is not because of something you and I have done. It is not because of our works or anything of the sort. We are heirs of God because of what Christ has done for us, and by faith, we have received that gift of salvation through Christ. We have received that into our hearts and into our lives, and therefore we are born again, we have been regenerated, and we are also adopted, and we have become adult sons or daughters of God, and therefore we can enjoy all of the inheritance of all of the things that God has. Now, I want us to look, and I want us to do a little bit of a comparison here between a servant or a slave and an actual son or children of God. And so let's look at a little bit of some of the differences here. First of all, I want us to understand that as Christians that are born again and that are regenerated and that are free from the law, and we are trusting in Christ and Christ alone for our salvation, we are now heirs of God. All that God has is ours. All of the blessings that God has, they're ours. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Remember this morning I shared with you some of the wealthy people. Chevy Chase, he's from a very wealthy family. Arm and Hammer, you know, the baking soda and stuff like that you can put in your refrigerator and all of that. Well, he had a son, they call him Army Hammer, and he was made fun of because he wanted to go into acting and that type of thing, and he did. And then once he became successful, his parents were more accepting of that. But he is very, very wealthy, had tremendous inheritance. Julia Dreyfus from Elaine on Seinfeld, her father was a billionaire, a French billionaire owning utility companies and so forth. She is now a billionaire, but she, as his daughter, as his child, adult, she is heir to all of that inheritance. The Hilton, Paris and Nikki Hilton, they are heirs to their grandfather's estate, all that he has. They're heirs to all those things. Now, can you imagine? I saw a little YouTube video when I was looking at this, and it was about rich kids and how they don't appreciate some of the things that they had. And it shows, you know, these parents, and they buy their teenage youngster a Lamborghini. And they got this, a $250,000 car, and they give it to their child for his birthday, and all the teenagers in here be like, oh my word. And you know what this child's response was? He was upset because it was not yellow. It was not the right color. It was like a lime green type color. And he was upset about that. Can you imagine that we could be so consumed with that? But you see, as children of God, as true followers of Christ and believers, we are now heirs of God. Let me tell you something. God has things that are a lot better than Lamborghinis. God has things that are way, way better than that. We have eternal life. We have heaven as our home. We have peace that comes even in the midst of storms. We have the promise of God that He will supply all of our needs. Not all of our wants, but He will supply all of our needs. We are heirs of all that God has as His children. We are blessed people. The Holy Spirit now indwells us. You now have the Holy Spirit. If you're a child of God, you're a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit indwells you. He speaks to you. He transforms you. I liked what Dave said this morning in Sunday school when he talked about how he got saved. And that very day, he felt that there was a change in his life. God pointed out, you know, things in his life that weren't right. Right. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a warm, bubbly, fuzzy feeling here. And he didn't know all kinds of stuff about the Word of God and hadn't been to Bible college. But he knew some things in his life weren't right. And he knew God was wanting him to change some things. You see, the Holy Spirit, when he comes and indwells us, when we begin to do things that are against the Spirit of God, they're against the will of God, the Holy Spirit, He will convict us, won't He? He will challenge us, and He will bring conviction upon us. Well, we are sons. We're not servants. We are sons of God. Remember the prodigal son? I talked about him this morning a little bit. The prodigal son, he demanded his inheritance from his father. And the eldest son always received twice what the younger son would get. He would always receive double. And he wanted his portion, and the father gave him his inheritance. And he went off and he had parties. He lived a wild, wild lifestyle. He went out and he blew every bit of it, wasted it, did all sorts of evil. He wasted it. And he got to the point where he was feeding pigs and almost wanting to eat the slop that he was giving the pigs because he was so hungry. And he's like, you know what? I would rather go back and be a slave to my dad than to live like this. That's how the prodigal was. The prodigal was willing to, he was willing to go and be a servant. You see, as a Christian, as a child of God, we have a father-son relationship. We have a father-son relationship. It's different than a father-slave. It's different than a servant relationship. It's different than a slave and a master. We have a father-son relationship with God. Well, let's talk about that. There's some differences in that. First of all, a father and a son, they have the same nature. They have the same nature. You know, we talk about it all the time, how kids look, boy, he looks just like his daddy. Down here the other day at Grandparents' Day, I was sitting there and there were some folks that came in. I didn't really know them, but they were sitting there and they had their grandchild with them. And there were some other folks that happened to know them. And she looked over and she said, okay, I know exactly whose boy that is. She could tell just by looking at him. She could tell whose child that was. You see, as a Christian, we have the very nature of our Father. We have the nature of the Father. It says in 2 Peter 1:4 that we are partakers of the divine nature. We're partakers of the divine nature. A lot of times we sure don't live like that, do we? We ought to. The law cannot give a divine nature. That Old Testament law that the Judaizers were trying to push on to the new believers, that could not give them God's nature. It could not give them divine nature. The law can only put the flesh to work. That's all it can do. It can put us to work that we got to go and we need to do this and do this and do this and do this. That's what the law does. It cannot give a person the divine nature. It cannot give a person the characteristics of God. Look at another thing. As a son, only a son can say Papa. Only a son of God can say Papa in speaking to God. You know, kids run around the school and everything like that, and they can come up and they can say Pastor and whatever, or they can say hi to their teachers, or hi, Mr. Cooper, that, you know, and that's great. But they don't call us Dad. They don't call Mr. Cooper Dad. They don't call me Dad. Why? Because we're not their father. We're not their parents. But as a child of God, you can call him Father. He says, the Spirit of God says, Daddy. The Spirit of God in you gives you such a peace and a comfort with the Father that you can call him your Daddy. That's a huge change. Look at another change. The Son also obeys out of love. The Son obeys out of love, and a servant out of fear. We're obedient to the Lord because we love Him. We're obedient to our parents, and sometimes we don't maybe agree with it or whatever, but we're obedient to them because we don't want to break their heart. Because we love them, because we care about them. And so we obey as a son rather than as a servant who is full of fear. The law, it can never produce obedience. It can demand it, but it can't produce it. Matter of fact, the Bible is very clear that there's no man can keep the law. None of us can keep the law. None of us has kept all of the Ten Commandments. None of us are able to do that. But as children of God, we have a desire to be obedient, to be pleasing to the Father. Do you have that desire in your heart to do what's pleasing to the Lord? If you have no desire in your heart to be pleasing to the Lord, then it may be you're not in relationship with Him. It may be that you don't have that personal relationship with Him. Maybe it may be that He's not your Heavenly Father. It may be that you're still outside of that relationship with Him. But as a son and as a child of God, you're going to have a desire to be obedient to the Lord. There's going to be, are you going to obey Him every time? Absolutely not. But when you disappoint Him, when you're disobedient, it will break your heart. It will bother you. It will burden you. The Holy Spirit will convict you. Only love can produce obedience. Remember what Jesus said? John 14 and verse number 15, Jesus said something that's pretty profound. He said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. You see, when we love the Lord, we'll be obedient to Him. When we love the Lord, we'll keep His commandments. Look at another thing that we can recognize. A son, he's rich, and a servant is poor. A son is rich, and a servant is poor. And think about this. As a child of God, as the very son of God, you are wealthy, you are rich, you have a tremendous inheritance, and you can draw on that. You can draw on that inheritance that you have even now. You know, some of these wealthy children, they can't draw on their inheritance until they reach a certain age. But as a child of God who's been saved, you've been born again, you're adopted, you're an adult child, you're an adult son of God now, you can draw on the inheritance that God has for you. What are some of the things that He has for you as an inheritance? Well, eternal life, for one thing. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You can have joy in spite of your circumstances. You have the promises of God. You ever seen those little Bibles, those books? Talks about all the promises of God. All the things that God promises. He promises to answer our prayers. He promises to never leave us nor forsake us. He promises all kinds of things. And so we can enjoy that. That is part of our inheritance, the promises of God. Then the son, different than a servant, the son has a future. The son has a future while the servant does not. Do you realize how awesome the future is that you have as a son, as a child of God? All the things that are coming towards you, that are coming your way because you're a child of God, you have a fantastic future. May not seem like it right now. Maybe going through some problems and through some struggles and through some difficulties. But your future is secure. Your future is going to be amazing. Your future is going to be, if you think about the future of the wicked, they're going to be punished. They're going to be destroyed. But as a child of God, you are going to be protected. You are going to be loved. You are watched over. God cares for you. He knows your every need. He knows exactly where you are, and He is going to bless you. He's going to reward you, and He is going to, trials may come your way, but He's going to grow you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to bring you through those trials. You have a tremendous inheritance that is coming your way. As masters, they're not required to care for old servants. For example, if you were in the Old Testament or in the New Testament days and you had a servant, let's say that servant became older. They were no longer able to harvest in the field. They were no longer able to do the work that you needed them to do. They were no longer able to do those things. What would happen? You could cut them loose. You could sell them. Give them away. But you had no obligation as their master to take care of them. But as a son, God has an obligation. You have a right as a son. God is going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to watch over for you. God is not going to cut you loose and let you squander and go off on your own. You are His child. He's going to care for you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to protect you. I don't know any of us that would just cut our children loose and say, fine, therefore, go for it and watch them just devastate and ruin their lives. It'd tear our heart out. It would break our heart. God's not going to do that to His children. And as a believer, a child of God, God is going to care for you. He's not going to cut you loose like a master would let a servant go because he could no longer serve him. The father would provide. He provides for his sons. He watches over them and he takes care of them. Adoption, actually, in the scriptures, it had two phases, if you would. There was a couple of ceremonies that took place with adoption. One of the ceremonies was a private ceremony that when the parents adopted the child, there would be a private ceremony. They would meet and they would take care of all of the papers and all of the documentation and on it goes. And they would secure all of that and they would take care of all of that. And that was a private ceremony. That was the official adopting of that child, adopting that person. That was done as a private ceremony. Then when you go into the second stage, the second part of adoption was a public. It was public. It was public before officials. It was public before others, the other family, other people, the city officials and people around you. That was a public ceremony. Now think about this. The moment in the day when you bent your knee and you prayed and you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to be your Lord and Savior, that was the private adoption ceremony that took place between you and the Lord and whoever was there with you. Very private, very personal. That took place, and that was your adoption. That was one stage. That was one part of it. And that's the stage. That's that point where you're at. Now we're in the second phase, if you would, of that public adoption that is happening. But you know what? We're actually awaiting the very, very public announcement and proclamation of our adoption that's to come. When Christ declares us as His own, when He comes to get His bride, when we are publicly and openly before the wicked, before the world, He recognizes us as His children. You know, can you imagine? I've never been to an orphanage. But I'm just thinking about this. If you could put yourself into some of these countries and these places where they have orphanages and they have, hundreds of children whose parents have passed away, they're gone. Can you imagine what it would be like as one of those children to watch adoptive parents come in and choose one of the children and watch them adopt that child and take that child away? Can you imagine what that would seem like, what that would feel like? Well, as being His adopted children, we are awaiting. We're awaiting His, full revelation to us, taking us away as His bridegroom, as His bride. He's going to take. We're awaiting Christ's coming. What a wonderful day that will be. We've enjoyed the private ceremony of being adopted. We're going through the public process of that adoption. And we're going to enjoy all the inheritance of being adopted by the Heavenly Father. One of the things that I remember, I think I mentioned it last Sunday even, but I remember hearing one of the ladies speak at the mother-daughter banquet, and they had adopted a child. And one of the things that I remember they said was that when you adopt a child, part of the adoption process is that by law, you can never revoke that. You can never undo that. You can never be unadopted. Parents can never unadopt their child. It's adopted. You can never be unadopted. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been adopted into His family. You're His child. You have that inheritance. You have all of the blessings and the inheritance that are to come. You have a wonderful future. And the best part of all of these things is that our inheritance is yet to come. We haven't even begun to scratch the surface of what God has for His children. Isn't that exciting? Amen. We haven't even scratched the surface of what God has coming for us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, 12, yeah. Some of you are excited. All right. But it is exciting. And we don't think about it sometimes. You know what? We get too caught up in the cares of the world, don't we? We're too worried about all of the things that are happening and going on around us. And we forget about who we are in Christ. And that ought to motivate us. That ought to make it exciting for us to go and to share with others around us. You know what? Don't you want them to be adopted too? Don't you want them to be part of the family of God too? Don't you want them to have the inheritance that you and I have? We ought to want that. We ought to be excited about that. And so this is an interesting passage of scripture, and he's going to use an illustration, and I may talk about it next Sunday, and we'll close out chapter 4, but he gives a wonderful illustration that he's going to use, and we'll talk about it in the future. But I will stop there. And we'll close out with that. But I want you to know that as a child of God, you have been adopted. You have a tremendous inheritance that's awaiting you as you trust the Lord for that. All right, well, let's stand, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. And then if you would like to, we'd like to take a few minutes to pray together. You can pray at the seats where you're at or whatever. If not, then quietly, we ask that you would quietly dismiss. And we want to remember these that we've talked about, Diane Moody and her health, and then also continue to pray for Ron Gilman and Margaret and their family, if you would. And there's others, the unspoken that I mentioned this morning. I don't even know that need, but it was mentioned to me, and it seemed as though it was a real burden for someone, and they asked that we would share that. I know I heard in Sunday school this morning other prayer requests, other needs, and so forth. So pray for one another this week, and do your best to be obedient to your Father and serving Him. Let's dismiss in prayer, and then if you would like to spend some time in prayer, we'll dim the lights and have a prayer time. Father, we come before you, Lord. We pray that you would do a work in our hearts and in our lives. Help us, Lord, to realize who we are in Christ. Lord, how you have blessed us. That, Lord, we are children of God. That we are your sons. That, Lord, we have a great inheritance, Lord, yet to enjoy. And Father, I pray that you would help us to live and to act like sons, that, Lord, we would live and act like sons and daughters of you, that we would not be displeasing to you, but that, Lord, we would bring honor and glory and praise to you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.